بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah, whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. Before we begin, I need to ask a question. Inshallah, that statement of Musa is not on the tape. If that's on the tape, please, they have to erase that statement. I love Musa, and he's one of the most beloved brothers to me, but exaggeration is not called for. And if there was some dirt, I'd make sure that he have it in his face. And even for the brother before him who introduced me as the Sheikh Abu Muslima, this is an exaggeration. I'm just one of the brothers, inshallah ta'ala. And we hope that what we present, that Allah gives us the success in presenting what is correct in light of His book and in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight's topic, the misconceptions of the Salafi da'wah, or whatever the topic was exactly, it needs time to be presented. And I feel a little uncomfortable after the plane had arrived so late and trying to present a topic when there's really no time for it as it's getting late. Not that I'm trying to excuse myself that I'm tired or something like that, but we have to be refreshed and at a decent hour if we're going to take a look at some of the statements of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the statements of the ulama. And then whenever the word misconceptions is mentioned, then of course there needs to at least be some adequate time for some questions or clarifications, as there's obviously something that led to these misconceptions. And I don't know how we're going to handle things tonight, except that I might start off with two questions and answer them inshallah ta'ala briefly with a book that I have in front of me, and then we would leave the rest of the time inshallah ta'ala for questions and answers, and we hope that we're able to cover the topic, inshallah ta'ala. And if not, we would refer to some other books or tapes, or maybe tomorrow we might add on to one of the other lectures, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah help us. The first question is, what does the word Salaf mean anyway? As usually the people who have some problem with the Salafi da'wah, they phrase their question like that. What does the word Salaf mean anyway? And I want to quote from a book called Wasatiyyatu Ahl Sunnati Bain Al Firaq. And it is written by Muhammad Bakirim, and this was his master's thesis in the Jamiat al Islamiyya Bil Madinat al Munawwara. At any rate, he has this section on page 96 where he says, As-salafiyyatu aw as-salafiyyun nisbatun ila salaf. The Salafiyya da'wah, or the Salafis, and this affiliation with the Salaf. He says the Salaf in the Arabic language, it is the plural of Salaf. And Salaf, it means those who have come before. Or Salaf, a group of those people who have come before. And then he quotes the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ سَلَفًا وَمَثَلًا لِلْآخَرِينَ. And we have, and this is from Surah Al-Zukhruf, verse number 56, where Allah Ta'ala, he says, and we have made them Salaf and examples for the other people. And Imam Al-Baghawi, rahimahullah, he says in his tafsir, and for the sake of being brief, we're just going to bring the translations of the different statements of the ulama without quoting the Arabic, and we'll just refer the people to the book, inshallah ta'ala. He says, Salaf means those of your forefathers who have come before you, and we have made them those who have come before you so that you, the people who come after them, might follow their example. Or as Ibn al-Athir, he says, the Salaf of a human being is the ones who have died off from his forefathers who came before him, or from his relatives. And for this reason, the earliest generations of the Tabi'een, they have been called As-Salaf al-Salih. This is the linguistical meaning that the Shaykh brings. And then he says, وَالسَّلَفُ فِي الْإِصْطِلَاحِ, or the meaning of the word Salaf in the Islamic terminology, he says that there is a difference of an opinion in trying to determine the understanding of the word Salaf and the Islamic sense of the meaning of the word. And those different statements detailing these positions are, they are the Sahaba only. And this is the first position, and he mentions the people who say this. And the second position, he says, they are the Sahaba and the Tabi'un. And he says that this is the position of Abu Hamid al-Ghazali, and he makes his statement, I want you to know that the truth that is explicitly clear, it is the one that there is no doubt about it with the people who have insight and intellect, and that is the madhab of the Salaf, and by that I mean the madhab of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And the third position, the Shaykh, he says that it refers to the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabu Tabi'een, or the three generations that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has established their virtues in the hadith that is narrated by Umran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhuma, خَيْرُ أُمَّتِي قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ قَالَ عُمْرَانَ فَلَا أَدْرِي أَذَكَرَ بَعْدَ قَرْنِهِ قَرْنَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثَ. And this has been authentically collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of my ummah is my generation, and then those that follow them, and then those that follow them. And then Umran, he said, I don't know if he mentioned after his generation, two generations or three generations. And in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم ثم يجيء قوم تسبق شهادة أحدهم يمينه ويمينه شهادته. And this is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best of humanity is my generation, and then those that follow them, and then those that follow them to the end of that hadith. And he says that this last position, that they are the Sahab and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in, then this position, many of the ulama establish it to be the correct position, like Imam al-Shawkani and Imam al-Safarini and Ibn Rajab, who died 795 Hijra. He establishes also that the Salaf, those who are to be followed, are up to the generation of Al-Imam Ahmad and those who are like him or on his level. As he says, in our times we establish the writings of the speech of the Salaf, those who are to be followed are up to the time of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, who died 204 Hijra, and the time of Imam Ahmad, who died 241 Hijra, and the time of Ishaq Ibn Rahway, who died 238 Hijra, and the time of Abu Ubaid, who died 224 Hijra. And the Shaykh, he continues as he says, and this statement of Ibn Rajab is quoted in his book Fadl Ilm Al-Salaf Ala Ilm Al-Khalaf. And the Shaykh, he continues and he says that maybe the statement of Ibn Rajab, it was taken from the likes of the statement of Imam Al-Ajurri, who died 360 Hijra, as he saw that the Imams, those who are to be followed from the Salaf, are those that go up to the time of Imam Ahmad and those scholars around his time. As he says, from the signs of the one that Allah Azza wa Jal wants good for is that he lets him tread this path, the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ways of his companions radiallahu anhum, and those who followed them with ihsan rahmatullahi alayhim, and that which the imams of the Muslims in every country to the last of the ulama were upon, with the likes of the scholars of Imam al-Awza'i, who died 157 Hijra, or Sufyan al-Thawri, who died 161 Hijra, or Malik ibn Anas, who died 179 Hijra, or Imam al-Shafi, and Imam Ahmad, and al-Qasim ibn Salam, and whoever was upon their way, and he stayed away from every madhab or position that was not the position of the likes of these scholars. And then the Shaykh, he goes on to mention other people who established this same position. And then he quotes the Dr. Mahmoud Khafaji as he says, indeed, I see that those who try to define the word as-salaf Islamically with the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in, then this is the most correct position, because it is in agreement with the narrations on the one hand, referring to the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about those three generations that was quoted already, and because we find that many of the scholars, they seem to agree that the Salaf, is referring to at the most the Tabi'in, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The Shaykh here, he defines and he answers the question for those people who say, who are the Salaf anyway? And from this answer of the Shaykh so far, he makes it clear that the Salaf, they were a people who lived during this time, and those were the generations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in. But the Shaykh, he asks the question, is it sufficient to define this word with referring to a time period only, or is there more to it? And then the Shaykh, he goes on as he explains with the statement, or his question, should we consider everyone who lived among during that time or those generations to be a Salaf, meaning those who we should follow them from those who died who came before us? And he said, there is no doubt that the answer to this question is that we do not follow everyone who lived during that time. And that is because we know, or we all should know, that during that time, many of the imams of the people of Bid'ah and the people who follow their desires came up during that time. As he says, this was the time that the Khawarij came on the scene. And this was the time that the Shia and the Rafidah came on the scene. And this was the time of the Qadiriyya, or the people who deny belief in Qadr. Or this was the time that the Bid'ah of Al-Irja came on the scene. And the Irja is to say that your Islam or your Iman is a statement on your tongue and you don't have to do any practice. Meaning you don't have to make Salah and you don't have to fast. And you don't have to make Hajj. All you have to say is, I'm a Muslim, or Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and that's sufficient. The bid'ah of of the Jahmiyyah came on the scene, and of the Mu'tazila, and they are the people who had denied the names and attributes of Allah Ta'ala. In brief, and there's more detail to that, that they had all come on the scene during this time. And in light of that, it's clear to see that those three generations or as we see from those three generations that there were some righteous Salaf who lived during that time who we should follow. And likewise, there were some of the people who followed their own desires or the people who invented bid'ah into this deen or entered into Islam and the Muslims' affairs that was not from this deen also lived during that time. Rather, the doors of much evil were open during that time, and even the Ummah is still dealing with the effects up until today of the bid'ah and the desires that were invented that time. Therefore, the time alone is not sufficient to qualify someone to be from amongst the Salaf. Rather, we must add to the time period that the positions must agree with the Quran and the Sunnah. And whoever has his opinion opposed the Quran and the Sunnah, then he is not from amongst the Salaf, even if he lived during the time of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And because of this, Al-Imam Al-Safarini, he says, what is meant by the way of the Salaf is that which the Sahaba radiallahu alayhi, people had used the terminology Ahlul Athar from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah وسلم, authentically collected in the narration of Imam Ahmad. Su'ila an-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyu an-nasi khair? Qala ana wal-lazina ala al-athar thumma al-lazina ala al-athar, or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was asked, who is the finest of humanity? He said, me and those who are with me, and then those who follow their athar, and then those who follow their athar, meaning those who follow their narrations, meaning the narrations of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And some of them use the terminology of al-firqatun najiyah, or the saved sect, from the hadith of At-Tirmidhi and others. And this hadith is well known, and many of the ulama say it has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, "Sataftariqu ummati ala 73 firqa." كلها في النار إلا واحدة قيل ما الواحدة يا رسول الله قال الجماعة. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my ummah will soon divide into 73 sects. All of those sects are in the hellfire except one. They said, which one is that, ya Rasulullah? He said, the jama'ah. The only sect that will be saved from the hellfire is the jama'ah. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed that this saved sect, he showed its description. And because of it, and Allah knows best, the ulama have coined the phrase al-firqatun najiyah, or the saved sect. These are different nicknames that the scholars of Islam that we have been commanded to follow in the ayat that we have mentioned and other ayat.
that these are the phrases that they have coined to refer to the people who adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi Tabi'in in specific, and the scholars of this deen who follow their way in general. And because of it, we use the terminology that they use. And even some of the people use the term Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'a, because in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith of Al-Firqatul Najiyah, he used the terminology Al-Jama'a, and the ulama have coined these phrases from the likes of these hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we use the phrases that the ulama use, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Most of the time I usually hear a different example than the example that you mentioned, and maybe it might be better to use that other example, inshallah ta'ala. Many of the people say that you are concerned with straightening the rows, and the Muslims have big political issues all over the world. It's not for myself or any Muslim to concern himself with, except that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has him to concern himself with. We have ayah in the Quran and hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us affairs of our aqidah and the affairs of our ibadah and the affairs of our character and the other affairs. Who is it from us to say that this is more important than that, except that he has an ayah or hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the statements of the scholars of this deen to determine which is more important than that? At any rate, and no offense to anyone, I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us those who want to practice the Quran and the Sunnah and follow the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi Tabi'in. I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never turns our focus away from His book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where we learn how to straighten the rows, and where we learn how to use the bathroom properly, and where we learn how to enter the masjid, and what we do in the masjid, and how we leave the masjid, and how we are to act with each other, and how we are to fast and make hajj. These are the affairs of our deen that we learn in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what the Muslims should be concerned with, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse that we quoted, He commands those who believe to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger. And rather, on the contrary, you find that many of the people who are extremely knowledgeable of the world events are very ignorant of their deen. And I've seen that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and anyone's individual case doesn't have an impact on the truth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That's like a kafir saying to the Muslims, look at you. Does that mean that Islam isn't the truth because he's showing that a Muslim is committing zina, as many of the Muslims do? Or that the Muslims are using riba, as many of the Muslims do? Or many of the Muslims are doing whatever they're doing of disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? Does the kafir have an excuse to meet Allah without Islam? Likewise, the Muslim, whether he sees someone who is Salafi or not Salafi, adhering to the Quran and the Sunnah, because of the world events, will he have an excuse to meet Allah with no beard because he was concerned about the affairs, the political affairs and the current events, that he didn't know the obligation of his beard? Many of the Muslims don't know how to make wudu. Many of the Muslims don't know how to make the salat of the Messenger of Allah. Many of the Muslims don't even come to the masjid except on Jumu'ah. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But they're aware of the current events. Will it be an excuse when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to have practiced His book and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because you were bogged down with current affairs? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the Muslims who are focused and give everything its importance. And what is most important in our lives is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made important for us and those who have come before us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. This is our purpose on life. As it was for those before us, as Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O humanity. Now the ulama, they say this is the first commandment in the Quran. O humanity, I command you to worship your Lord who created you and He created those before you so that you may have taqwa. This is our purpose in life, to worship Allah. By our belief in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by our adherence to His book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the other things are on top of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and make us successful.
When one uses the term Salafi, are they actually expressing an idea of being superior to other sects?
No. And it's not permissible for any Muslim to feel that he's superior to any other Muslim. Especially when Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. Indeed, the most noble in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa. Who has the most taqwa? Only Allah knows, as He says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. And don't sanctify yourselves. Allah knows best who fears Him. Or Allah knows best who has taqwa. Not the people in their mouth. So it's not permissible that anyone praise themselves in this manner or feel themselves to be better than the rest of the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everyone's taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge everyone. This statement, a Salafi, is an affiliation to the Salaf, as the ulama have explained, as we have explained early in the presentation or the answer of the two questions, that Salafi is an affiliation to the Salaf, and who the Salaf were, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
What type of people tend to reject the Salafi
God? I don't know, Allah knows best.
I realize that you are a student of knowledge, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to preserve you and increase your knowledge.
Amen.
But does it matter who you ask when asking questions relating to the deen, as long as the person gives their sources? I mean, students of knowledge and local imams when the scholars are not available.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us who to ask with His statement, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ when you don't know. أَهْلُ الذِّكْرِ are the ulama, the people who have knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those are the people Allah commands us to ask when we don't know. I want to phrase as some of the ulama phrase in answering the likes of these questions, after mentioning the ayat or hadith of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, they say, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Say, do those people who know, are they like those who don't know? If someone had a problem, a toothache, or problems with their teeth, would they go to an auto body shop and say, I have problems with my teeth, can you please help me? Likewise, if someone needs to know a verdict of the Quran and the Sunnah, they're going to go to the people who have memorized the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who have sat and sit with the people of knowledge so that they can understand. Likewise, no one, if he has problems and he can't see and it looks like he needs glasses. No one's going to go to a first grade teacher and tell them, I need glasses, can you do something for me? They're going to say, if you have a child 6 years old or seven, maybe we can help you, but for that, I think you need to go to the eye doctor. This is the same case with this deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
When brothers wear their pants above their ankles, and the woman cover is all black or dark colors, are they making statements that they follow themselves? Or are they literally separating themselves out of distinction? Is this permissible in Islam to dress or have a practical clothing to be identified?
The brothers who wear their pants above their ankles, and the women who cover in all black or in dark colors, are not trying to make a statement, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What they're trying to do is to practice Islam that teaches the men this and teach the women that. Is this a mark? Is this separating themselves out of distinction? The only one who it separates them from is the people who don't adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is this permissible to dress or to have a particular clothing to be identified by? I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
In our individual effort to give a da'wah, who are those who, although the intention may be sincere, end up doing more damage than they do good? And what can we do to minimize the effects of these circumstances?
Remember when I was first learning the Arabic language, we learned a phrase, "Atil qawsa bariyaha." Give the bow to the expert who makes them. Everything is to be handled by those people qualified to handle it. The da'wah can be general da'wah calling the kuffar to Islam. And basically, if you're a Muslim, you're qualified to do that. Because all you have to say is, repeat after me, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh, and you will save yourself from the hellfire and you will be in Jannah inshallah if you die on that. Any Muslim who believes in Islam understands that, and he can call someone to Islam with that basic statement, or if he knew more, the more he knew, the more he can call them to. But the da'wah that we use this word and referring to teaching the Muslims Islam, then the Muslim has to know more about Islam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and we quoted that ayah, ask Ahlul Dhikr when you don't know. Or say, do the people who know, are they like those who don't know? It's a difference between those people who know and those people who don't know. As the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا ثَقُهُ. The best of you in Jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam, provided that he gets an understanding of this deen. Some of the ulama, they used to say, may Allah show his mercy on the one who knows his limitations. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show his mercy on us and bless us to be from amongst the people who know their limitations and know how to say, I don't know, Allah knows best, and to leave it in the hands of the people who know. May Allah help us.
The notable achievement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, da'wah, was the establishment of a Darul Islam. What is the present feeling of those who call themselves by the name Salafiyya to the establishment of what the Salaf Salih did indeed create for this deen? And that was a time of great peace and great achievement in response to Allah and His Messenger. What is the present feeling in terms of the establishment of Madar al Islam?
You know more than I do on that point. As what I know of the Messenger of Allah is that he came to teach the people the Kitab and the Hikmah and to purify them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala, He says, and likewise we sent a messenger from amongst you to purify you and to teach you the Kitab and the Hikmah, or the Quran and the Sunnah, and to teach you that which you didn't know. This is what we know about the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and what he came to present, and the issue of establishing a Darul Islam or not, or what have you. I don't know. You might know better than I do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
I just
want to
touch on address the body of the Muslims here. It's now getting somewhat late. I don't know how many other questions are left. And I'm going to ask for traveling. What is your preference?
If I'm okay, you know, I'm young. Alhamdulillah. But we don't, I don't want to burn at the people. I'm young and this is my job. It's on the people and it's permissible after Salah for Isha to learn about the Quran and the Sunnah, and this is the exception, as opposed to staying up after Salah for Isha and watching TV and movies and talking about nothing. So it's on the people. If the people are okay, I'm okay. If the people are tired, then we'll leave, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Let's continue. We'll take it on for some time. I also like to remind you, those of you who will be leaving, inshallah, make dua for us. And tomorrow we will start with Salat al-Fajr, which will be at 6:15, inshallah. We will go on with the women's class also, and also the activities tomorrow night, inshallah.
I brought that.
So, sisters, question. We have to, we're going to alternate as sisters and brothers, and, you know, the sisters want to come.
Can you expand on the statement of Allah, paraphrase, and do not divide yourselves into sects? Does this not mean don't call yourself Sunnah, Salafiyah, etc., etc., etc.?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. Allah Ta'ala says, and don't be like the disbelieving mushrikun, those who have divided their religion up into sects, each group happily rejoicing with its own program. The ulama, they explained that what is meant by don't divide your religion up into sects, meaning bid'ah and desires that Allah has not given anyone permission to do. And the way you do that is by the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and hold on to the rope of Allah altogether, or jami'an, and don't divide. Or as the ulama explained, jami'an, jama'atan. Hold on to the rope of Allah as a jama'ah. And we had mentioned this word jama'ah in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam earlier. And in one of the narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains what is meant by jama'ah, as the ulama explained in the other narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi," that which I am upon today and my companions. This is what we have been commanded to do. Whoever does that, does what he has been commanded to do. Whoever adds or subtracts to adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah and following the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'een and the scholars of this deen, then this in fact is the one who has divided his religion up into sects, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It might be that we might have time or another time to explain that in a little more detail, as there have been some lectures just around that point in the past. Maybe the sisters might like to refer to some of those. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Okay, I have an issue here. People actually have explained those who associate themselves to follow the Salaf, the Qadis of Salafi. If you have two people who associate with the Qadis of Salafi, and that they are doing the, they are going to the way of the Salaf, but they hate themselves, they fight against themselves, is it permissible for them to call themselves Salafi, since we did not see the Salaf doing that?
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith of Imam Muslim, سباب المسلم فسوق وقتاله كفر. To insult a Muslim is fusuq, and to fight him is kufr. It's not permissible for the Muslims to be fighting. Rather, the Muslim should be, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the authentic hadith, المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the believer is like a solid structure, each one supporting each other. And then in some of the narration, the Prophet ﷺ did his hands like this. I don't know what you call that. The brothers can see it. No. Did his hands like that. No Muslim should be fighting, whether he says he's Salafi or he doesn't say he's Salafi. This is not from Islam that the Muslims fight one another. Ya rahmatullah. No. I don't know if the brother was intending other than that or if not. Is it possible that someone might be disobedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, like fighting his brother Muslim and still have an affiliation with the Salaf? Yes, just as it's possible that a Muslim might say that he's Muslim, meaning he submits to Allah and he disobeys Allah. Nah. Is there a Muslim who disobeys Allah? Why is he considered a Muslim, one who submits to the will of Allah, if he disobeys the commandment of Allah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings.
When listening to the man here at our message, I do not hear the man saying the Salaf is Salaf. Instead, he says the most righteous practices. It's safe to say the most righteous predecessors in order to be safe and not cause controversy.
I wrote a little statement in my book here that maybe I might quote it. In the Hands Where dictionary, Arabic English, he quotes the term as-salaf as-salih. He says, the worthy ancestors, the venerable forefathers. This is similar to the statement of the Imam, and this is an English translation of those Arabic words. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is it more beneficial to stay with the English or to use the Arabic phrase? The issue is that we understand that we have been created to worship Allah, and that we worship Allah by being obedient to Him and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we understand His book and the Sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, and we practice it in our lives the way that it was already understood and practiced by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then their companions, and then their companions in specific, and the scholars who followed their way in general.
This is another issue where we'd like to hear your comments about another acquisition on the famous conception about Salafi Dawah. I hear that Alan, or even some brothers here now, that the Salafi, or the Salafi group, does not like jihad. And this involves around the last 2 years when the suicide bombing happened in Palestine by our brothers.
We ask Allah to forgive them and to accept their deeds. We, inshallah, accept that they are sincere in their actions. And this happens when some of the ulama, which we, inshallah, accept that they follow the salaf, ruled out that this kind of action where a mujahid or a fighter would go into an action where there is 100% probability to die is actually a suicide. So, those who do not like the way of the Salaf group accuse the Salaf of being hating or not promoting jihad. What is your comment about that?
Let me ask you a question first. Is al jihadu fi sabilillah established in the Quran and the Sunnah? You have to answer the question if I can continue. Is the people who say they're Salafi, do they mean that they adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah? How could they be against something that they say that they adhere to except that they have some problems? Then I want to get back to the issue. Suicide is not permissible in Islam. So Messenger of Allah, if we know in the long hadith, the one who was fighting jihad and he was very courageous, and the Prophet, people said he's in Jannah, and the Prophet said no, he's in the hellfire. And then someone followed him and he killed himself, and that's why he was in the hellfire. I don't know the details of some of what some of the people do, except that the ulama know better than I do, and we do. And if somebody attaches a bomb to himself, what is he doing? And he goes into a building and blows everybody up. I mean, did he think he was going to live? So really, sometimes the issue isn't really an issue of jihad. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, and prepare for them what you can from quwwah. And one of the authentic hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was on the minbar and he says, أَلَا إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ الرَّمْيُ أَلَا إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ الرَّمْيُ أَلَا إِنَّ الْقُوَّةَ الرَّمْيُ. Is not power the ability to shoot? Is not power the ability to shoot? Is not power the ability to shoot? And the ulama of our times, they explain that this ability to shoot goes with whatever technology comes up with. That shooting is shooting, meaning using something to hit and destroy your target. And this is the power that we have to be prepared with to fight the jihad. Anyone just can't take it upon himself to say that he's fighting jihad like that. There's preparation that goes along with it in the emir and the other ahkam that the ulama explain. And really, how can the ignorant know better than the ulama? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us to what's most correct of the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Compare and for contrast the term Salafi and Sunnah. Can the term Salafi be used to distinguish oneself from the Muslims who adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah?
I don't know how to answer that question other than to say that maybe the questioner might listen to what was presented already and see if it can be figured out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
Just in light of something that you were mentioning about suicide, I had a question that was coming up recently. If somebody does something similar to that, putting a bomb on yourself or something like that, in order to save, in some situation, in order to save, you know, some way other people, to save, you know, because if they, the only way for them to accomplish this act is for them to have to stop a larger bomb or something like that in the future in order to save the lives of, you know, the mass of the people. Would it still, in that case, be considered like suicide?
Yeah, I understand, you know. I don't know what to say, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَدْ فَصَّلَ لَكُمْ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا مَا اضْطُرِرْتُمْ إِلَيْهِ.
And we have detailed for you that which has been prohibited to you except that which you are driven to do out of necessity. I'm not going to be able to judge someone else's necessity to be disobedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, like someone who says, there was nothing else to eat. I had to eat that haram meat. I can't say, well, you could have went another day. You would have lived. I mean, subhanAllah ta'ala. I don't have his stomach or his desire, and people know themselves best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Rather, the human being knows best about himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
If we are already considered people who follow after sunnah, why should we use this ourselves?
The ulama, as we mentioned before, they use these different terminologies, and we use the terminologies that the ulama use, and they were based in the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Okay, as we know, nowadays there are many names going around, many sects. So people are afraid when they hear new names and things that they do not understand. How do you think is the best way to propagate the Salat al-Tawr without first setting up with a name which would probably put a black in the mind of the people that we want to reach?
I don't know what the best way is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the best way. I'm just like the next person. You do what you see to be best or better whenever you see it to be best or better. And it might vary from hour to hour or day to day or what have you. Someone has to use his best judgment or his better judgment to do what will be, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to be. With his statement to two of the Sahaba that referred to the rest of the Ummah afterwards, يسرا ولا تعسرا وبشرا ولا تنفرا. As the Messenger of Allah وسلم says, be easy and don't be hard. Be inviting and don't chase away. This is guidance from the Messenger of Allah والسلام, that we use in our da'wah in general. That we don't want to be difficult and harsh with the people, we want to be easy. And we don't want to chase the people away, but we want to be inviting. And if something is chasing the people away, then use another terminology, that which is easier for the people, as you don't want to make the people disbelieve in Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam after they have believed in Allah and His Messenger.
I am your sister who wears the niqab, and I have been comfortable about the Salafi da'wah because I wear it. It is the niqab of the Salaf.
The niqab. No. The wives of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam wore the niqab. The niqab is mentioned in one of the hadith of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah that I'm forgetting its wording right now. At any rate, maybe some of the people might know this hadith. It's around the question that was asked to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I wear this while I'm in the state of ihram? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't wear this and don't wear that and don't wear this and don't wear that and don't wear the niqab. Was amongst the things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the women to wear when they were in the state of ihram. And this is only one of the evidences to show that it was known and a practice of the women by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah knows this.
Salafiyah. Explain whether or not a person is committing a sin if prior to Islam they purchase something that involves riba, and currently the person still has the item and is paying for it. Is it better for the person to get rid of the item?
We've asked this question to many of the ulama. and they've answered with what I'm going to attempt to explain, inshallah ta'ala. They said if there's any possible way that you can get out of the riba by paying off the whole thing at one time, then it is an obligation on you to do that. And it's not permissible for you to continue to pay the riba when you can just pay everything off and free yourself from disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. The ulama say, however, for the one who does not have the ability to pay the rest of that debt off immediately, and they're forced because of the contract and the evil consequences of not paying it to pay, then they should pay it and hate to do it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This is what I understood from the statements of the ulama around that question. I want to advise some of the people, and this is only personal advice on top of that, that if you know that you owe something and you have to continue to pay riba, many of the Muslims love to help each other, and we have been commanded to help each other, as Allah Ta'ala says, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَتَقْوَى. And I command you to work together on al-birri wa taqwa. And the other ayat or hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that command us to work and help each other. Go to the Muslims where you will get an interest-free loan, a riba-free loan. Take that money, pay off your riba or that whatever you had from the days of Jahiliyyah, and free yourself from that. And now that as you're paying, you only have to pay the Muslim with no riba. This is an alternative that I think is a good one, as we have been commanded to work with each other, and we should hope to save each other from disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah knows best.
Is there any blame
on
a person who follows the sunnah but does not call himself Salafi? Some people quote the Quran as saying, Allah has named you Muslim. Did the sunnah of this nickname come during the Prophet's lifetime by him or after?
The issue, and we hope inshallah ta'ala that this questioner and the rest of us don't get distracted from, we have been commanded to worship Allah ta'ala, and this is our purpose in life, and that is by our obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that we adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding and the practical application of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi Tabi'in, and specific and the scholars who followed their way in general. This is what we must do as Muslims. Then the issue of the terminology, as we had mentioned earlier, that some of the ulama called themselves by this, and some of them were known by that from other people. So sometimes you may have a nickname that you have given yourself, or someone else may have given you a nickname. You Salafi, sister. Naam. Because you adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf. No, I don't call myself Salafi. That's okay, sister, I'll call you Salafi. As some people are given nicknames by others, and they don't have the nickname from themselves. The issue is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala properly. And this is what we must understand firstly and foremost. As far as this ayah in the Quran that he named you Muslims, there's no difference between being named Muslims and being Salafi. That's all the same thing. This is a nickname that has been given to those people who affiliate themselves with this methodology. Like, for example, if you ask someone, are you a Shia? You're from the Shia? Say, no, I'm Sunni. Are you Shia? No, I'm Sunni. No, you Muslim. And you say, I'm Muslim. Oh, you with the Shia. Nobody is affiliating themselves with those people called Shia who have gone astray. So this is, at times, a point of clarification, as we are aware that Muslims have gone astray. No one wants to be known as they're down with the Qadariyah or the Jahmiyyah or something like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Did the sunnah of this nickname come during the Prophet's lifetime, by him or after him?
It seems like it's after the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though there's authentic hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam where he motions to this point. But his statement in the narration of Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah, and it's authentic, ذَهَبَ الصَّالِحُونَ أَسْلَافًا. And the narration of Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah is just ذَهَبَ الصَّالِحُونَ. The narration of Imam al-Darimi rahimahullah, ذَهَبَ الصَّالِحُونَ أَسْلَافًا, that your righteous have died off as your salaf, meaning the righteous people who you should follow have died before you, referring to himself sallallahu alayhi wasallam and then his companions. Himself, firstly, as he says in the narration of Imam Muslim, killing the narration of Imam Muslim. Someone might remember this narration from Imam Muslim around the word salaf. You remember? Yes. I'll just bring the translation, inshallah ta'ala, where the Messenger of Allah salam, he says, Fatima was crying as she knew and she was taking very hard the death of the Messenger of Allah salatu wasalam. Prophet said, I am the best salaf for you. Meaning, Fatima, don't worry. If I leave, I have already explained Islam to you. Follow me, even after my death. And we have been commanded to follow the Messenger of Allah salam, even after his death. He's not living now, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we all follow him. Alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Some of the criticism of what I was about to call myself, I'm going to make sure I cover. I lack of the human relation skills with Muslims from the area in Jewish America, and I didn't use this term. Those who recently started using the term Salafi, being prejudged not to another Muslim, and lack of respect for people to follow the letter down, and they're still following it based on the things that they've given us advice. I'm sure you know about it.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إنما المؤمنون أخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the believers are nothing but brothers. So make up between your two brothers and fear Allah. Perhaps His mercy will be shown on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah that many of us know and we say all the time, let's just practice it. This isn't the first or the last problem that Muslims have had amongst themselves. We have to work out our differences and our problems and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we can have Allah's mercy upon us. Don't let the problems continue to linger. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Jazakallahu khair. And don't differ, otherwise you will be losers and your power will be taken away from you. But be patient. Indeed, Allah is with the patient. We have to learn some etiquettes with each other. And this issue needs to be an issue of discussion almost every time we sit down. Etiquettes of differencing of an opinion. As we mentioned one of the etiquettes earlier, if you differ in anything, take it back to Allah and His Messenger. Also, one of the most important, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, as all of the ayat and the hadith are important, is this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected by Imam al-Bukhari and others. اقروا القرآن ما اتلفت عليه قلوبكم وإذا اختلفتم فقوموا عنه. This is an important etiquette of differencing of an opinion, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, read the Qur'an so long as you agree that each ayat has a particular meaning. And if you differ, disperse. Sometimes you gotta let it go. Sometimes you just have to let it go. Who's right? Allah knows best. No, I'm right. You might be. Allah knows best. Sometimes we just gotta give some stuff up
and take it easy so that we can work some things out and have Allah's mercy on us, inshallah ta'ala. Sometimes people just have to give it up and overlook and work some things out. And it's not right that the Muslims don't work things out with the likes of you have mentioned before. And really, for myself, I know just hearing your statement that it's an admonishment to myself, and I think to everyone who is listening, to get themselves together and not to cause problems amongst the Muslims, whether it's the issue of Salafi or whatever, that when it's amongst the Muslims, sometimes we just have to take it easy and let some things go for the sake of being okay. And when I'm saying let things go, I'm not saying let the haram be known as okay. No, I'm not saying that. You see it that way, brother. We see it different. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Forgive us for whoever's wrong. Because some people are going to be wrong. I hope I'm not. May Allah forgive me if I am. But the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكَمُ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانِ.